Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Build, Grow, and Enjoy, BGE Radio, powered by Blog Talk Radio, everyone. It is 3 p.m. Atlanta, 12 p.m. Los Angeles, buildgrowandenjoy.com. Get on over there just to learn a lot more information about the things that we have going on, because the buzz is out there, I tell you. Build, Grow, and Enjoy is getting everyone's attention. Actually, you can follow me on Twitter, audibletrial.com/buildgrowenjoy. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your free audiobook and 30-day trial provided by our sponsors, Audible. And in addition to that, you can also get on over to buildgrowandenjoy.com and just click Audible and get your free title. And, you know, these Audible is the hot thing now, you know. Listen to all your favorite titles while on the go. You know, we are in the world of mobile device and, you know, technology, and this is the way to go. So audibletrial.com/buildgrowenjoy.
Well, I just have to just share with each and every one of that first couple of things. First is the World AIDS Day Awareness Week in
Atlanta 2014 is in the works. That's all I can say. I can't share much with you guys right now until, you know, the press releases and the media releases, and, you know, it's going to have national attention, global attention, speaking of, but you will learn more. But, of course, you're going to get the exclusives here. But give you a little more background on it. You can get on over to buildgrowandenjoy.com. It's the philanthropy tab. There's more information and updates. Why, who, what, and why Atlanta was selected, and of course, when. So when will be the 3 days preceding World AIDS Day? World AIDS Day, as many of you guys know, and those that don't know, is December the 1st, 2014. So that will be November the 28th, 29th, and the 30th, that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The reason why Atlanta was selected is because, you know, the philanthropist that is the organizers of this event has selected Atlanta because of the amazing history, you know, robust tourist offering and leads, you know, the nation in racial diversity. And not only that, it's also the home of the Center for Disease Control Prevention, which is the CDC. So they figured that, you know, the beautiful city of Atlanta is an ideal host for an outreach of the magnitude that they're coming in. Pretty much what it is, it's 3 days of non-intrusive, non-discriminatory activities that have a commonality in which each event is structured to increase HIV and AIDS awareness. And when I say event, each day there's going to be something unique and different that's going to really target the awareness to get testing, because that's the whole goal of this philanthropy project, to get everyone tested, that, you know, the resources that inform them just more on that educational you know, on the educational borderline in support of promoting the behavioral modifications needed to move forward with, you know, in a world with zero or newly reported HIV infections. Pretty much it's going to be a collaborative effort compromise of global and civil leaders, frontline agencies, and individuals who advocate for an HIV and AIDS-free world. The marketing effort is going to be ridiculous. The reach is going to be over 500 million through television, radio, print, social media, and the World Wide Web. The goal of this event is to get at least minimum 4,000 people tested, and the anticipation is that 10,000 attendees will be participating. So with the crisis in the HIV situation that's going on in Atlanta, this is something that was brought to the city so that they can come in and support and bring the awareness and support the community with this dire issue that's taking place in Atlanta. And I'm just really, really excited that, you know, Atlanta was selected to host this type of event, type of philanthropy project on this level, and just awesome, awesome things to come. Please, please get on over to BillGrownEnjoy.com, click philanthropy. All I can say right now is that all is in works, and there are some big names, some big people coming in to really, really help with this situation. A lot of people were unaware, and they are aware now. So they are coming in to support the community of Atlanta on this issue and see what can be done by providing the resources that are needed. So BillGrownEnjoy.com for more information on that project. And just excited. It's excited for the change that's to come to the city of Atlanta. Now, it's Easter week, everyone. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. You know, it's Holy Week all over the world. You know, I love this time of the year, you know, just really beautiful weather. You know, many are in fellowship. The colors, children are happy. Families are enjoying the outdoors. Just really, really, really an exciting time of the year.
Well, I'm going to do something a little different this year. I'm going to
head out to wine country. You know, I've always heard during, you know, the springtime, wine country is the place to be. So I will be heading, and I'm looking forward to share all of this with you guys when I'm back on the air on Monday. Fun-filled day, and I'm taking a few of my girlfriends. Seven selected winemakers have been selected to enjoy a full day. I'm talking starting from 7 a.m. to midnight at their vineyards. You know, it's going to be an 80-degree, the temperature that day out in California, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do some wine tasting. We're going to do some olive oil tasting, pairing, walking through the vineyards, baked brie and sour bread, and sour bread. I guess that's really, really hot there with the cheese in the middle, to kind of, you know, with one winery, with their types of wine, touring of the wine distillery. They have a delicious, prepared brunch with, there's going to be a deliciously prepared brunch with views of the vineyard, hot air balloons, and, of course, a sunset vineyard dinner, and then the day lounging, relaxing, because, you know, in wine country during the evening, they have a lot of live entertainment. Of course, you know, you get your cheese boards, and just, you know, enjoy the music under the moonlight. So it's absolutely a blessing, and I'm really looking forward to this experience. I definitely wanted to do this experience so that way I can share this with the many that listen and tune in and follow me. I thank each and every one of you guys. And, you know, a lot of you guys ask me, what are some things to do in California? Because many of you guys know I'm just back and forth. I'm pretty much all over. But mostly right now in California, for right now, but in between Atlanta. But, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to come to California. What's there to do? And, you know, I always tell everyone, you know, you have to see wine country. I'm actually heading to Temecula, not Napa, which Temecula, California is wine country, is the southern California wine country. And, of course, Napa is the northern. So they're both beautiful, but a lot of people don't know of this hidden gem, Temecula, California, with the wine country there and a lot of the winemakers. So I'm looking forward to share that with you guys, and that's going to be pretty much my Easter weekend, enjoying it, you know, out at the vineyard. So let's get talking right now, because April 15th has come and gone. And now it is April 16th. You know, what's next? Did you miss your deadline? What are some tips? And, of course, it's perfect timing to have our favorite chatter live from Atlanta, Georgia, with us, Debbie Snelling, with your monthly Snelling report for the month of course, April. Welcome back, Debbie.
Always glad to be here, Calithia. Sounds like you're going to have big fun for Easter. We inadvertently scheduled our post-tax season debrief meetings and 2014 strategic planning to end on Easter. So, so we'll spend these, after our morning Easter meetings, we'll spend the day traveling to try to make it back to angry families.
Right. I may have to just, you know, with all that you guys know, because I know you guys have a plate full, I may have to send you a bottle of wine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Debbie, you know, April 15th was yesterday. I saw you tweeting out on, you know, at Snelling Report that individual returns are timely filed if postmarked by 4:15 or e-filed by midnight 4:15. Not ready. Use forms 4868, 4 8 6 months.
Ascension, for many of those, you know, that don't know, but it has gone and passed. And, you know, we are here this month to talk about some last-minute tax tips for 2014, income, what income is taxable, and pretty much let's just start with what's next for those that missed that deadline.
And I was just going to say, I had a couple of calls from and emails from friends who went, oh, my gosh, I just remembered. And the answer is file as quickly as you can. The penalty for late filing is 5% per month or a fraction thereof, and the penalty for late payment is one-half of 1% per month. So that's why it's always a good idea, even if you can't pay, to at least file an extension and avoid that 5% per month or fraction thereof penalty for late filing. But once you've missed it, you've missed it. I had a guy who kept insisting to me that if he filed it today, they would give him some kind of break. And I said, no, they won't. You have missed it.
Oh, boy.
They will give you some kind of break if you timely file, if you file as quickly as you can now. What the break will be is that you won't max out the penalty. So, mm-hmm. So now, if you don't owe any money, though, however, fear not, the IRS is giving you, or rather, you are giving the IRS an interest-free loan. So there's not any penalty if you don't owe any money, unless it was a partnership return, in which case there's a $197 per month per partner penalty for not timely filing. So. Mm. Five partners at $197 a month is a $985 a month penalty. So if you haven't filed your partnership return, file.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how some people they forget that we're all professionals in our field, and you know they need to heed the advice. But you know sometimes you can open the door for people, but you can't tell them to walk in. So let's talk about these 5 half-minute tax tips for 2014 that you have for us this month, Debbie.
So, and the first one we've picked up, it's stop procrastinating. So get your return done, gather your documents, get it in. Number two, make sure you include all income. If you had a side job in addition to a regular job, you may or may not have received Form 1099 miscellaneous, but either way, it's taxable income, and you'll owe additional taxes on it, so don't forget to include it. Not including it makes you liable for penalties and interest on the unreported income. Again, file on time. We talked already about the late filing and late payment penalties, so if you have filed an extension, you have extended your personal return until October 15th. If you have filed a partnership extension, you have extended it until September 15th. So get them in on time. And don't panic if you can't pay. This is what we were just hitting, the late filing penalty. If you filed an extension and you owed money but you didn't pay it, the late payment penalty is significantly smaller than the late filing penalty. So you've avoided the worst penalty. And, you know, you can work out payment plans with the IRS. There's an installment agreement form. You can usually work out installment agreements with states. The IRS actually just lets you file the return with your, or the installment agreement, request along with your tax return, but most states, many states, require that you do that separately. And don't forget to sign your return. Don't forget to double-check your return. Check your Social Security number. The number one area of tax fraud this year, as has been true for the last 3 years, has been identity theft. So make sure that you're checking your credit regularly. And make sure that you get some verification that the IRS, if you're filing electronically, make sure you see that they've accepted your return.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lady who came in on April 14th who got some income for what has historically been disability pay, and it was for a disability policy on which they paid the premium, not their employer. But this year, they switched the type of income, they called it, from disability pay, which on a policy that they paid the premium on, which is not taxable. If the employer had paid the premium, it would be taxable. The insurance company switched it to reporting it as sick pay, which is taxable. So we had to extend them, and that brings us to what income is taxable, what income is not taxable. We just spoke really briefly about disability benefits. Disability benefits, again, on a policy where you paid the premium, the disability income is not taxable, and frankly, that's because the disability insurance is not deductible. That's why if your employer paid it, it is taxable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Social Security, Supplemental Social Security, also SSI, Social Security Supplemental Income, SSI, is not taxable income. It's considered a disability benefit, and it is not taxable. However, Social Security income itself may be taxable income depending upon what your other income levels are. So as with everything, it just depends. Other income that is non-taxable. If you received a gift or inheritance, and I keep talking about this, and nobody ever sends me my $14,000 free dollars, but if you get a gift, you can, as an individual, you can give other individuals up to $14,000 in tax-free gifts to the recipient. It is not deductible to you. It is not taxable to them. If you give more than that, it is the excess that you give is taxable to you, believe it or not, but still not taxable to them. Inheritances, as a general rule, are not taxable. There are some exceptions to that. The exceptions are things like 401ks, where it went in tax deferred, and so when it comes out, somebody has to pay taxes on it, whether it's the estate or you, but somebody pays taxes on it. Child support payments are not taxable income. Welfare benefits are not. Damage awards for physical injury or sickness are not taxable income. Damage awards for emotional distress are taxable income. Cash rebates that you get from a dealer or manufacturer for an item that you buy are not taxable income. And reimbursements for qualified adoption expenses are not taxable income. So, again, there's one where we had a really interesting case come up for someone who had adopted a child who met the, and it's a different definition for the adoption benefits of what's a special needs child. So it depends upon state law. So there are some tax credits available for adoption expenses, and some of those are even greater if it's because you adopted a quote-unquote special needs child. But again, special needs has to do with the difficulty of placing the child, not necessarily with any physical or mental problems that they may have.
All right.
Other stuff not taxable under certain conditions. Life insurance proceeds paid to you are usually not taxable. But there was again, you know how I like to read court cases. There was a case recently.
Right.
In the tax court. There's that gray area. There was someone had redeemed a life insurance policy. So it was a whole life policy. They had redeemed it, gotten the cash value out of it. And the cash value of it that these people had redeemed was more than what the IRS said the cost of the policy was. So if I pay $300,000 for a policy and then I close it out and I get $250,000 of cash, it would not generally be taxable. If, however, I got $350,000 of cash and I paid $300,000 of premiums, then that $50,000 would income from a scholarship that you get for attending university is generally not taxable if it's used for costs like tuition and books. But if you get it for room and board, it's usually taxable. So, again, you hear me say it all the time. Nothing in the tax code can be simple. So every you know, we just had a blood moon. So it's deductible unless there's a blood moon, and then it's taxable. I mean, you just have to pay attention. State and local income tax refunds may or may not be taxable. And, again, it goes back to, did you receive a tax deduction in the prior year? It's a rule that we call the tax benefit rule. So if you did not receive a deduction in the prior year, then it's not taxable now. Why would you not have received a deduction? Well, you didn't itemize. So if you don't itemize your expenses, you're not taking a tax deduction for the state income tax that you paid or had withheld. And so when you get it back, tax benefit rule, it's not taxable. On the other hand, if you did itemize, you did get the deduction, you get it back, some or all of it may be taxable. So nothing can be easy. We just keep saying it.
Right.
Remember tip income. Tip income is taxable. I don't know how many times I hear from servers or other people in the entertainment industry who said that they got tips and, you know, they can't believe it. They got, you know, $50,000 worth of tips, and but their net paycheck was always zero, and why do they owe taxes on it? And the answer is because it's earned income. But you got to take the tax home. You got to take the money home with you. So your employer didn't have the opportunity to withhold it because your paycheck came down to zero. And he, as it turns out, he can't withhold past zero.
Right.
So therefore, you owe taxes on it at the end of the year. Yeah. Once your paycheck is zero, if your employer's coming back to you and saying, hey, give us some money so we can send your taxes in, you know, something's up with that. But remember, you got to pay taxes on your tips. You got to report your tips to your employer. And it's always a good idea to keep a log of your tips. And frankly, everybody is so computerized now that at the end of every night when you're tipping out, there should be an electronic record of what your tips are. So, and frankly, it's on your pay stub. So keep up with it. Pay attention to it. Make sure that your employer is inputting the right information. Stuff happens. It could be that they typoed it. Instead of putting $123, they could have put $321. And then you got a problem. So pay attention. Make sure that when you're tipping out that it's, you're getting tipped out for the right number.
Right. Right.
I just had one of my Facebook friends send out something that said that they're having a bartering event coming up. And so that fed in nicely.
Yeah.
As we go
well,
down our
you
newsletter.
Know, I see this on the newsletter, speaking of the bartering. So, yeah, I mean, this is one that I didn't know. So, yes. Give us your expertise on this one. I was not aware of that.
Bartering income is taxable. Similarly, though, if you have bartering expenses that you used for business, those are also deductible. And this happened, gosh, many years ago on a client that I represented on audit up in Nashville. And the client actually gave me some stereo equipment in lieu of paying me cash. So... It was their business, and the business didn't have the cash, so they contributed the stereo equipment to the business, and then the business gave me the stereo equipment in lieu of cash. They took a tax deduction for it. I paid taxes on the value of the agreed upon value of the stereo equipment. So it's taxable income. Now, if that had been their personal tax return as opposed to their business expenses, and it still would have been taxable income to me, but they may not have been able to take the deduction on their tax return. So if you're using it to pay personal expenses, it is not deductible generally. But it's always barter income is always taxable income. So barter exchanges are a way that people do that very often. So there are several large bartering exchanges throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, actually. And at the end of the year, they give you a report of what your bartering income has been. They also give you a report of what your bartering outflow has been. So pay attention to it.
Right.
It's taxable
right.
in the year that the barter occurs. So, you know, it may be subject to, if it's for your business, if you're going to owe income tax, you're going to owe self-employment tax. There may be employment taxes or excise taxes, depending upon what it's for. So pay attention to it as you're, you know, as you're going to the wine country. Very cool, by the way.
Isn't it? I'm like, woo! I'm in my element.
So, you know, maybe somebody will give you some wine to in exchange for advertising at Build, Grow, and Enjoy.
Boy, do they know what? They are very welcoming to Build, Grow, and Enjoy. They are aware. I'm going to get that bottle. I'm going to trade out to get a bottle for you.
Well, there you go. And it'll be taxable income to both of us. So.
Right. Oh, boy. Yeah, that, you know, the bartering income tip, you know, to let everyone know that's taxable, you know, I really want to express that because Atlanta, you know, is an extremely high bartering city. So those that are listening in Atlanta, get on over to the SnellyReport.com and read more information on this bartering income being taxable. You can also contact Debbie directly for your consultation. And, Debbie, let everyone know how they can contact you.
They can reach us at 770-735-3336. They can get us on Facebook, I'm Snelling Report on Facebook, or they can search for me, Debbie Snelling. They can reach us on Twitter, same thing, at Snelling Report. They can reach us, gosh, where can they reach us on LinkedIn? It's actually just Debbie Snelling on LinkedIn. Of course, you can email me at Debbie@MG, that stands for North Georgia, taxsolutions.com. You can go to our website, thesnellingreport.com. I believe that our contact us page works there. So lots of ways if you're trying to reach me. And you've heard me tell this story before. I once fired somebody because she left town and said that she had left her cell phone and she didn't know how to reach me. And I said, did you type Debbie Snelling on the Internet? I'm the whole first page.
Right. I can't miss it. Exactly.
I'm going to say you hid from me is what
Well, yes, they can Google you. They can get on over to SnellingReport.com, TSR consultant, do you offer free consultation just to kind of get an analysis, or is there a fee for that?
We offer a free 30-minute consultation. We don't give advice during that consultation, but we do offer a free consultation where we'll let you know if we think there's hope, and usually there's hope.
Yeah.
Then we help to work out a plan and a strategy to make that hope come to fruition.
Exactly. And you just, even though you're based in Atlanta, you work on a national, you know, or global level, correct?
We do. The beauty of the Internet. We have client portals that are secure, so you can send us information. My furthest away client actually is in California. So I think that's, except for Hawaii and Alaska, I think that's about as far as we can get in the U.S.
Okay.
That's exactly what they do is they upload information to the client portal. Even locally, we have people who my office is 20 minutes north of Atlanta, and so people don't want to drive that 20 minutes.
Right.
So they upload it to us. But clients in Chicago.
Or know the traffic in Atlanta. You would rather send
it. Oh, yeah, exactly. 20 miles does not really equate to 20 minutes unless it's the middle of the night.
Right. Right. Well, you have more tips for us this month, Debbie. And going into the next tip that you have for us tonight, with the monthly Snelling Report is lost your job. You know, there could be tax consequences. A lot of people are not aware of this. So let's get right into that.
Thank you. And, you know, this comes up every year. What happens when I lose my job? If I receive unemployment compensation, is it taxable? Yes, it is. Do I think that it should be? No, that I do not, but I didn't write the law. I just tell you that this is what the law is. If you'd like to get it changed, we urge you to contact your congressman. But unemployment compensation is taxable income. What might that be? It might be benefits from a state or D.C. or from the Federal Unemployment Trust Fund. Generally, it's from your state Department of Labor, but it could be from the Federal Department of Labor. Railroad unemployment compensation benefits. Disability payments from a government paid as a substitute for unemployment. Trade readjustment allowances under the, you know, Trade Act of 1974. Let's get real technical on you. And then also, if you get unemployment assistance from the Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, that income is also taxable. So pretty much if you're getting paid because you've lost your job, it's taxable income. Severance pay, taxable income. Even pay to stay, if your employer wants you to stay for a while and then pays you to go away, you get taxed on all ends of that. We had a big client who lost his job this year because his company was bought out by another company. They gave him pay-to-stay pay. They gave him severance pay. And he called and said, oh, my God, I owe so much taxes, and I'm getting hit with the alternative minimum tax. And I said, welcome to the tax code. So we did some strategizing. We did some planning. We're able to reduce it a little bit. But you need to be aware that it is all taxable income. Can you have tax withheld from your unemployment benefits? You can. You have to ask them to do it. So generally they'll give you the form. If they don't, you can use form W-4V for voluntary. It's a voluntary withholding request. And they'll withhold, they say up to 10%, but sometimes you can get them to withhold more. But most people who have lost their job, 10% is about all they can afford, and maybe more than they can afford. So we already talked about other ways that they pay you, severance pay, accumulated vacation pay, accumulated sick time pay. It's all taxable. What's deductible? Well, here's what. If you searched for a job, the cost of that you spend in searching for a job are deductible, even if it didn't result in getting a job. Those expenses include travel, resume preparation, outplacement agency fees, moving costs if you move at least 50 miles away from your old commute. It's hard to explain it. If your commute from your old home to your old job and from your old home to your new job is greater than 50 miles difference, then your moving expenses may be deductible. Not all of them are going to be deductible because that would be too simple. And the cost of hotel stays generally is limited to one night, so pay attention. If your employer reimbursed you for some of it, you don't get to double dip. What if your employer went out of business? Somebody just called me the other day and said, we didn't get anything for 2012 because his piece of crap boss went out and kept saying, oh, I'm going to send it to you, oh, I'm going to send it to you, and then he dropped off the face of the earth. Well, you can contact the IRS and see if he actually did file anything. If he didn't file anything, then go back to your last pay stub, and you'll have to use that to be able to file your taxes. But this is why you hang on to that last pay stub until you get your W-2. And even at that, match your pay stub to your W-2, because employers are generally, ultimately they come down to the people who fill out the forms. And I haven't ever met any person who was 100% foolproof. I have met some 100% fools, but.
Oh, boy, that's funny. Oh, boy.
So pay attention to it. But, yeah, so, again, they get you every which way but loose, it seems like, in the tax code. And the IRS, there has been a really pervasive telephone scam out this year, and you need to be aware of it. You need to pay attention to it. And it's been so pervasive that I have seen at least a half a dozen things come from the IRS saying, be aware, be aware, be aware. On this phone scam, what happens is that people call up taxpayers. They pretend to be the IRS. They are told that they owe money to the IRS, and it has to be paid right now through a preloaded debit card or a wire transfer, and if they don't pay right now, they are threatened with arrest, deportation. So this is happening to a lot of people who are here on visas or not. They're being threatened with suspension of a business license or a driver's license, and the caller will become not just hostile and insulting, but really they'll be threatening. And you should know that all of those things would be illegal for the IRS to do. So it is a pervasive scam. It has hit taxpayers in nearly every state in the U.S. So the IRS commissioner, acting commissioner at the time, Danny Werfel, and I think now we've got a commissioner, but if somebody calls from the IRS and threatens police arrest, deportation, license revocation, it'd be nice if you had caller ID and could call the police and report this. The scammers will use fake names and fake IRS badge numbers, but they'll be common names. It'd be like John Smith or Jane Doe. It'd be something. It won't be anybody named Kalithia. It might be somebody named Debbie.
Yeah, right.
But it's common names. they'll be able to, you know, because of the internet age, they may be able to tell you the last four digits of your Social Security numbers. They'll spoof an IRS toll-free number on caller ID sometimes.
Right.
They'll send bogus emails that make it look like it's coming from the IRS. But
yeah.
If you hear a background noise of other calls, basically just be aware of it. The IRS doesn't call you up and threaten you over the phone. They just don't.
No, they're more willing to work with you, and they're just the scammers are out there. I mean, they are savvy. It's amazing some of the things that I see and hear, and what takes place. It's just amazing, and some of these people are getting away with it. So yeah, you definitely have to be careful. But I didn't know they had the balls to try to be like the IRS, you know, not knowing that they can come after them also, and they will eventually find
it. And seriously, pretending that you are a federal agent is a felony. Again, I appreciate that how naive I sound when I say this, but impersonating a federal agent is a felony. So if you think you owe taxes, if you think that, you know, if you think there's a possibility that you owe taxes, say, listen, I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call the IRS phone number that I get out of the phone book.
All right.
And that phone number, by the way, is 800-829-1040. If they tell you you can't do that, boom, you know it's a scam. Write down the phone number if you can get it. If you know you don't owe taxes or think that you have, if you just know that this is inconceivable, here's the phone number for the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. So I've been saying report them. That number is 800-366-4484.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been targeted, you may have to call the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. Use their FTC complaint assistant at ftc.gov and add IRS telephone scam to your comments so that they'll know this is where it came from. There are other scams that they use, like lottery sweepstakes. I'm from Jamaica. I'm the queen. I got one the other day. It's the queen of somewhere who had to get her money out.
Right.
I'm the queen
or
of Candyland.
Or calling with a DC accent. Saying they're in America and all. It's like, really?
Yeah, I'm traveling out of country and I have to, somebody stole my wallet. All scams. Debt relief. Often scams that have to do with crises in other countries like Haiti relief and Philippines relief. So even in the U.S., where people have called and scammed with Hurricane Sandy and every other tragedy, every other crisis that's happened. The IRS, you need to know the IRS doesn't ask for pens. They don't ask for passwords. Or they don't ask for credit card information, bank information. They never ask for that kind of password information related to that. So if you've been scammed, call us. We'll tell you who to call. It's not Ghostbusters.
Right.
You can also go to the real IRS website, which is irs.gov. Not .com, not .biz, irs.gov.
Right. And they can head on over to thesnellingreport.com for more other tips that you have for the month with the newsletter itemizing versus standard deductions. You also have estimated tax payment, Q&A, simplified options for home office deductions, of course, 7 facts about dependents and exemptions, and, of course, tax due dates. The April 10th has passed, April 15th has passed, and you may need to get your extension, but there is one more in April, and that's the April 30th. For the employees, let's just talk briefly about that since it's the last deadline because since April is such a deadline month. And then go ahead and share with everyone again, Debbie, how they can contact you.
Well, payroll tax returns are due at the end of the month. So if you're an employer, you need to file Form 941. You probably need to file something with your state unemployment, your state withholding. And you need to deposit any amount, any undeposited tax. If your tax liability is less than $2,500 for the quarter, you can pay it with your timely filed return that's due at the end of April, so April 30th. Interestingly, if you make your payroll tax deposits on time, the due date for your payroll tax return is May 12th. So it's a little pay your money early and get an extra couple of days to file your tax returns. So if you are an employer, pay attention to that. And you can reach us again on Twitter and Facebook. It's Snelling Report. On our website is thesnellingreport.com. That's S-N like Nancy, E-L-L-I-N-G. I smell good, but it's not my name. So you can also go to, again, just do a search for Debbie Snelling on the web. I take up the whole first page. You can call me on phone at 770-735-3336. And you can go to our website for our other website for other tax tips. And periodically we've got at ngtaxsolutions.com, which is North Georgia Tax Solutions. We still have posted a free ebook that says, Am I Eligible for Office in Home? And so if you want a free ebook talking to you about that, that's very helpful. And, you know, what's wrong with free? Nothing last time I checked.
Nothing is wrong with free. Well, as always, Debbie, we enjoy you each and every month here with the monthly, an hour, monthly Snelling Report. Definitely great information this month with tax season ending. Make sure you and your team get some rest. Now, where should I send this bottle of wine? To the office? No, I'm serious.
To the office. Yeah, seriously, to the office.
Okay, you got a bottle of wine on the way. You and your team, and you guys enjoy it because you guys do an awesome job, and we really, really appreciate you, and we will talk to you next month.
I always love being with you, Kalithia. Thanks. Enjoy your time off.
Thank you, thank you. And there you guys have it, your monthly Snelling Report, the Snelling Report, thesnellingreport.com. Definitely get on over there. 30-minute free tax consultation. As she mentioned, you won't give tax advice, but you get your consultation so they can do a discovery on what your unique need may be. Contact Debbie today. Yesterday was April the 15th. It's now April 16th. I know many of you guys probably missed the deadline. You don't know what to do, or you got it in time, and maybe you want to simplify your tax planning and get ready for the for the next year. Debbie Snelling is your person to definitely contact. And even though she's based in Atlanta, she has a national reach, so you can contact her from anywhere in the U.S. Just go ahead and reach out to her today. And you can follow her on Twitter, actually, also, and that's Snelling Report, at Snelling Report. So that's going to conclude us for today, everyone. Yes, 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 audibletrial.com/BillGrow. Enjoy. At Kalipi, you can follow me on Twitter. Get your free Audible book and 30-day 1,000 titles to choose from. That's a lot of titles. And get caught up when you're reading on the bell. With that, I will be talking to you guys on Monday, and I'm just kind of trying to just woo-saw because I'm going to have a fun-filled day, Easter weekend in wine country, and I'm really, really looking forward to sharing this experience with you guys. The winemakers are really making sure that it is an experience that I can share with each and every one of you guys so that next Easter, you're out there too, and that's the whole purpose. We build, we grow, and we enjoy. So happy Easter to each and every one of you guys, and I will talk to you on Monday. Enjoy.